Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masachet Chulin Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Bet, about to take a look at the second Mishnah in this, the eighth parak. Sura Adam Basarug Finab Min Pachat Achar Vad Shelo Yu Nogin Zebazeb. That a person may put meat and cheese into one cloth or one sack, as it were, as long as they're not actually touching each other. Now, this, of course, they're not wrapped in anything. This goes back to what we saw in the first Mishnah about eating dairy and meat at the same table. If two guests are in an inn, they can eat one meat and one cheese at the same table, and there's no problem. We'll see a caveat on that in a moment. Now, who cares if the meat and the cheese touch each other in the sack that we said they can't touch each other? It's all cold. In the heat of klipa, you're right, you don't have to peel anything off if they touch. But you still have to wash them off. So in order to avoid that, we don't let them touch. Shmuel put the caveat here. It's only if these two guests do not know each other. If they know each other, then asur, because they might change food. If they happen to end up at the same inn, one coming from the north, one coming from the south. So the example he gives is two people who certainly do not intend to be together. This one has a piece of meat, this one has cheese. They can eat at the same table and not have any concerns. The only time that they prohibited is bitfisa achat, which is when it is like together. Tfisa achat zakadaitach. That's obviously not okay. Like ain tfisa achat, meaning when it is as if they're together, meaning that they plan to sit together or they're friends. Let's say you have two brothers who therefore know each other, but they're very makpid. They don't let the other eat from their food. Mahu. So can they eat meat and cheese at the same table? On the one hand, they know each other. On the other hand, there's no way they're going to swap food. Amrlei, so he quoted the piece from Psachim. We talk about a particular kind of matzah that cannot be prepared because typically it comes to chimutz, but there's a certain fellow named Baitus who knows how to do it without that. So Yamrukal Srikina Surin Suke Ustruke Baitus Mutarin. And they say they're all going to become asur except this guy. So in other words, when we make the law is across the board, what we call Loplug. So therefore, it's Loplug. Two brothers can't eat meat and cheese together at the same table, even if they happen to have a particularly unfriendly relationship. Now, by the way, it doesn't have to be unfriendly. It could be one of them is sick or something else. They have some other reason not to share. So here we find Rabbi Yochanan making an exception. Even though there's a prohibition to wash clothes during Chol HaMoed, we find him saying that if somebody has only one garment, they can do so. Ah, Yomru, Kol Asrukin, Asurin, Surke, Baitus, Mutarin, same complaint. The answer is Hatam, Amar Avashi, Ezuro, Mochiach, Halav. The fact that his belt is being washed with it, and it's not on him at the time, is because he's got nothing else to wear, and that proves that it's his only garment, so there's something obvious about the fact. There's nothing that two brothers who are, not pleasant with each other, they don't wear a decal with a frowny face on it, so there's no way you would know it from the outside. Okay, this next Mishnah, which is the beginning of Mishnah Gimel, is very, very well known, and it becomes sort of the foundation for a lot of discussions about ta'aruvot, of mixtures of things that the combination is prohibited. Tipat chalav shenafla lachatichas. You have some milk fell on a piece of meat, and it's in the pot. Im yesh parotin tam, if the milk is enough to flavor the meat, that piece, botachaticha asur, then that piece is asur. That's all we're talking about. Now, ni'er o etak dira, but let's say he then stirred the pot. Now, if there's enough to flavor the entire pot, asur, which means, in a sense, stirring is something of a solution, although you may not do it lachatchila, which is if there's a significant amount of milk relative to one piece of meat, but if you were to stir it, then you would measure it against the entire pot, and the entire pot would be have much more, there'd be mutar, that would be a way that it would be less of a problem. Now, Amar Abaye makes the following observation. Ta'amo v'loma masho, Ba'alma de'oraita. In general, in halacha, when you have something that is flavored, even though there's no substance of the offending object there, nonetheless, it's considered to take on the identity of that taste. And that is a concept that's d'oraita. What's his proof? If you think it's a rabbinic notion, then why wouldn't we learn it from basar b'chalav and say it's d'oraita? And the reason you would say it is the chidushu. You'd say basar b'chalav is weird. They're both mutar, and together they're asur. Right? So it's so strange you can't use it as a model. If that's the case, I forgot the lake on ten time, nami. So then basar b'chalav should be prohibited even if there is no flavoring. A tiny spot of milk falling into a huge vat of meat should prohibit the whole thing because it's a chidush. The fact is that we don't do that. The fact is that we consider tam. So therefore tam must be a general Torah concept, either learned from basar b'chalav or basar b'chalav is a reflection of it. So Amar Rava, Rava says that's not a proof. Derech Bishul Asura Torah. The Torah said Lo Tvashogdi B'chalev Yimah, which means it's only in the style of Bishul that it's prohibited, and that's where there is taste. So Amar Rav. Rav has the following comment about the first clause in our first part of the Mishnah. Kevash Natantam Bechaticha. We said that if it flavored that one piece, the one piece is Asur. He takes it further. Once it flavored that one piece, Chaticha Atzman Asayt Nevela. Then we employ Chanan, and that piece now becomes an entire piece of Isur, and then all the other pieces are the same flavor, and now Yamin Bimino, they're all Asur. So now Amalei Mazur to Bredu Avrimi de Ravina. So five generations later, he asks Ravina, Mechte Rav Kemana Amar Lishmate. Rav, after all, in his statement, was following whom? Rabbi Yehuda. He was following Rabbi Yehuda. The Yamin Bimino lo Batil. So Lema Pligi Adurav. It sounds like Rav is at odds with Rava, who is between his time and our time. The Amar Rava, what did Rava say about Rabbi Yehuda? Because Rabbi Yehuda, kol shu min b'mino v'davacher. We had this a little earlier. When you have min b'mino, and then there's another substance there that's part of the het there, saleket mino kamisha eno. You take away the min, the same type that's het there, same type as the offending substance, and then you have min b'sheino mino. B'sheino mino v'abeyalam v'atlo. And then if there's enough in the eno mino, like the gravy here, for instance, it would be mevatel. Now here you've got a pot that's got gravy, because otherwise what are you stirring? It's not dry piece of meat sitting there. There's gravy. So therefore, in that case, when Rav says that when one piece gets flavored, now everything's asur, regardless of the ratio, because we know, well, he must not accept Rav's piece about Rabbi Yehuda's rule of min mino when there's a third component there. So Amar Leh, Ravin answered back, it's not true. Eden nafal berotiv racha, if this was soft, liquidy gravy, hachinami, you'd be right. And Rav wouldn't say that. Hachabayaskin nafal berotiv avai, fell into thick gravy, meaning it's thick, almost like meat itself. So it's all one min. There is no davar acher here. Now, there's another question here. And that is the issue of efshar l'sochto. Efshar l'sochto means when a piece absorbs isur and becomes asur, but then subsequently it exudes it, so it no longer has it in it, do we say that it is stuck forever as asur to become mutar again? So my kasavar, what is Rav's position? I kasavar efshar l'sochto mutar, if he holds that once it's exuded all of its, or enough, of its taste, it's now mutar again. So chaticha might not say nevela. Why should this chaticha become a nevela? After all, we had milk fell on a piece, and there was enough milk to make the piece of meat asur. But then this meat got mixed up with the other meat, and it infected all of them. But why is that first piece of meat not say nevela if it exuded the flavor? It must be that Rav's position is of shalos sochto asur, it never loses its status of isur. Okay. Deitmar, here we have it. Rav, Virabi Chanina, Virabi Yochanan. Three huge hitters of the, more or less the generation or two after Rebbe. Da Amri, Efshar L'sochto Asur. But Shmuel against Rav, Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe against Rabbi Chanina, and Resh Lakish against Rabbi Yochanan. These are all sort of pairs. Da Amri, Efshar L'sochto Mutar. So this is a machloket, like the machloket about Smicha and Chagiga, and several other machloket, like the multi-generational, multi-team machloket. About the status of something that absorbed Isur and then exuded it. Alright, and Rav's position is Asur. The only problem is that Rav said something that seems to contravene that. Some Rav Shalasochto Asur? Veidmar Kazai Pasar Shnafala Tok Yorasho Chalav. Now flip it. You got a piece of meat fell into a pot of milk. Pot of cooking milk. Amarav Basar Asur Chalav Mutar. Rav said the meat is Asur, but the milk is Mutar. Now, but if you think that Rav holds of Shalas Sochto Asur, which means that once it's gotten flavored, we don't care what happens afterwards, it's forever Asur. Chalav my mutar, why is the milk mutar? After all, when the meat fell in, it flavored the milk. And therefore, the milk, even though later on maybe the meaty taste dissipates among all the milk, it's too late. So the answer is the Rav's position is Rav's position. It's asur. Why is the milk mutar? This is something fascinating. What did the Torah say? You can't cook a kid in its mother's milk. Meaning the emphasis is on the meat. That the meat becomes asur when it's cooked in milk. Which means that the milk itself is not really asur. Rav could hold such a position. Vayidmar will disprove it just from Rav himself. We have the following statement. Chatzizayit basar v'chatzizayit chalav. You have a half kazayit of meat, a half kazayit of milk. Shibishlan zayim zayin. You cook them together. You have now a kazayit of half and half mixed together. Amar Rav lokel achilato. You get makot for eating it, which means that you're getting makot for eating a kazayit of isur, even though according to what we just thought, half a kazayit's not asur. V'no lokel bishulo. You don't get makot for cooking it. We'll have to see why. But in the meantime, let's stick with the eating. Why are you getting makot if you're not chayav for the milk part? Chatzi shiur? It's a half shiur, it's a part shiur. Eliyahu Gsavarav chalav nami asur. For sure he holds that milk is also asur. That other attempt was just too far off. So why in the case of the meat that fell into the milk is mutar? What happened is the milk was boiling and the meat fell in. And what happens? The mivla bala mivla lopala. There's a general notion in Chazal about the chemistry of food that food is either exuding or absorbing, but can't do both at the same time. So what happens when the meat falls in? The meat's not hot. The meat falls into this boiling milk. It immediately takes in a rush of milk taste and doesn't put out meat taste. That's why the meat is mutar and the milk is mutar. But sof sof kinaya chadapalit. But in the end, when the milk stops boiling, then the meat puts out taste. The answer is Kedam Silko. So the case is where you pulled the meat up before it stopped boiling. It fell in boiling. You pulled it out right away. Okay, and that's why Rav in that case says the milk is mutar. So Rav certainly still says Afshal Sochto Asur. Now let's look at that case again. Gufa Chatzi Zayit Basar Chatzi Zayit Chalav Shibishlan Zayim Zeh Amar Rav Lokel Achidatov and Lokel Bishulo. So Manavshach. Remember I mentioned we have to look at the Bishul issue. You got to pick a position. Emit starf, and if you say that milk and meat are meat starf together to make a gazayit, a bishul lamin loki, you should get makot also for bishul. You cooked milk and meat together, a shear. Ilamit starf, and if you say milk and meat are not meat starf to make a gazayit, achil anamilo loki, you shouldn't get makot for eating. So the answer is liolam lo meat starfi. They're not meat starf. Uvavami yoragdola. What we're talking about is when the meat came from a larger pot, so that what you have effectively is you've already got the shear of Isur for Achila, but you can't be Mitzaref milk with meat to create a shear, so therefore you're not chayiv for the act of Bishul of cooking these two things together. Now, Levi, on the other way, had a different take. Levi Amar Aflo Kal Bishulo. He said, no, they are Mitzaref. Milk and meat are Mitzaref. Half a kazayit of this, half a kazayit of that. You cook them together, you get Makot for Bishul, you get Makot for Achila. In our Mishnah, he learns the following version. Meaning the last case. He doesn't have the version that says only on Achila. He has the version that says you're loka for both. Parenthetically, he says, what kind of Bishul constitutes Bishul for Basar Chalav? Bishul Shachim Machlinoto Machmat Bishulo. Cooking, which other people would eat, meaning a non-Jew would eat it, for instance, or if it weren't milk and meat, a Jew would eat it because it's cooked right, meaning it has to be proper cooking. Okay, now, Efshar L'Sochto Atzmo Tanoihi, the issue of Efshar L'Sochto, of something that absorbs a taste and then exudes it, whether it now goes back to its original head there, is a Machloka Tanaim. Tanya, Tipat Chalav Shnafala L'Chaticha, again our case. Kevan Shnatam B'Chaticha, Chaticha Atzma Nasait Nevela, like Rav said. Once the piece gets the flavor of milk, the whole piece becomes a nevela. V'oser kol ha-chatichot kulan. Now, nevela doesn't mean nevela. Nevela means just a piece of isur. V'oser kol ha-chatichot kulan. And then all of them are asur b'nei she'en minah, exactly like Rav said, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. No surprise there. V'chacham yomim ad shtein tam barotev v'kipa v'chatichot. It has to flavor everything. It has to be no ten tam because min b'mino is batel, and if you have enough, and therefore it all the other things that are taken into account and has to flavor all of them. Okay, now that doesn't yet tell us that Efshal Sochto is machloket. Here's where it comes in. We have Chachamim versus Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rabbi. Now it's important to point out that we have position A and position Z. And then somebody comes along and says, I accept position A in case 1, 2, and 3, and position Z in case 7, 8, 9, and 10. That means that position A himself held that in all cases his position is accurate. And position Z also said, my position is accurate in all 10 cases. And the guy in the person in the middle is coming and saying, I'm going to only accept your position for some cases and your position for others. Important to keep that in mind. Now, I'm a Rebbe. Nir'in divrei Rebbe Yehuda. I think Rebbe Yehuda's position is correct. Because Shaloni Ever Shaloki Sa, if you did not cover or if you did not stir or cover the pot. Divrei Chachamim, when do I accept Chachamim's position that has to flavor the whole thing? Vishini Ever Kisa, if you stirred and covered the pot, then the whole pot now has been infected by this milk. It's got to flavor everything. Now, that's the statement. Now, my loni yervaloki sa. When Rebbe said in the beginning that I accept Rebbe Yehuda's position when you didn't cover it, that means, of course, Rebbe Yehuda says, my position is when you did. But we accept that when you didn't stir it and cover it. What does that mean? Ilei meloni yer klal veloki sa klal. If you talk about you didn't, nothing, you didn't touch it, it just fell onto one piece. So vluma bala miflat no palat, it only absorbs in, but it doesn't exude out. You haven't done anything to exude it out. So ve'ela lo nier means betchila levasof. It means you didn't stir it right away. You stirred it after a while. Velo kisa betchila levasof means you didn't cover it up. You covered it up later. So you cover it up. It becomes a kind of hot tank in there, and that's when all the taste gets circulated around. Everything becomes asur. Now, amai habal of hapalat. After all, it absorbed, but then the single piece of meat that started already exuded it. The answer is kasav avshal sochto asur. It must be that he holds, meaning Rebbe holds avshal sochto asur, and therefore when it exuded it, it's too late. So mechad Rebbe Yehuda savar ki niyar mitchila v'yatzof achisem mitchila v'yatzof asur. So clearly, Rebbe Yehuda holds that it would be asur no matter what you did, even if you started stirring it from the beginning all the time. Until you got the offending piece out or it was totally dissolved. So amai, halo balaklal. How could you say it's asur? After all, the original piece did not absorb anything because it was immediately distributed from the beginning. So I'm a lonier yafe yafe, velokisa yafe yafe. So to go back and say, what does lonier velokisa mean? You didn't do a good job. Meaning you stirred, but not very fervently. You covered, but not totally. Now, Amar Mar, let's go to the second half of Rebbe's statement. I accept Chachamim's position when you did stir it, that now you have to measure against everything. So, my Niyar, my Kisa, what does he mean? That you only stirred it at the end, but not at the beginning. But you just got through saying that we interpreted that that's where he holds like Rebbe Yehuda. How could you say that he holds like Rabbanan there? That means he holds that Chachamim's position is the halacha when you stirred the whole time until you got the offending piece out or it got dissolved in. So again, the Rabbanan's position would be that we think it's mutar even if you only stirred it at the end after it sat for a while or covered it at the end. So I'm a kasavi of shalas sochto mutar. So clearly Rabbanan's position is of shalas sochto mutar, and that's because even though you didn't stir it at the beginning, when afterward you stirred it and the taste went out of the one piece, that one piece goes back to heter. So that's how we're proposing that the issue of shalas sochto is not just a machloket of early Amoraim, Rav versus Shmuel, Rechanina versus Rabbi Shimon Rebbe, and Rabbi Rechon versus Rish Lakish. It's a machloket Tanaim, really, Rechachamim versus Rabbi Yehuda. And Rebbe kind of finding the middle ground. Rabbi Rechamim deep to the Ravina. So generations later, he asked Ravina, who says the machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Chachamim here is about Avshal HaSochto? Maybe everybody holds, once it became Asur, the fact that it exudes doesn't matter. It's simply the following part, their own line. So hi mai, so let's examine it. If you agree with me that here Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Yehuda, min b'mino lo batel, and the issue is of shalas sochto pligi, that's where the machloket is. So hanukama Rabbi nirin de Rabbi Yehuda baha, but even Rechon baha. That's why Rabbi said we accept Rabbi Yehuda here and we accept Rabbanan there, because he's saying they all agree min b'mino, and the question is of shalas sochto. So I'll say of shalas sochto works here and not there. Ella, yamad avshala sochto de v'akol asur. If you say that everybody agrees avshala sochto, too late, too bad. V'achem min mino kim balgin, the machloket is simply min mino, hai nirin tiv Rabbi Yehuda v'ein nirin nivayle. He should have just said, we accept Rabbi Yehuda here and not there. Meaning we accept his admonition against allowing min mino to be batel, only here and not there, and left chacham out of it, v'tulo midi, and say nothing else. Ella, clearly we have to go back and say, it really is the machloket about avshala sochto. Okay, we'll pause at this point, we'll pick up in the next podcast with our dealing with the Chal, and in the meantime, wish everybody a wonderful day.